John is telling us to love fellow believers, who oftentimes are more difficult to love than unbelievers. And we listen to that and we say, that's a burden. Yeah, to the old nature, it is. No question. But to the new man, to the ideal Christ has set before us that we agree with, it is wonderful because we want to love like that. We want to have that kind of love that says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do while they're killing him.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, let's join Pastor Rick in 1 John chapter 5 as he continues his message, Love Flows from Faith.
Writing to that Corinthian church, he says, Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's what he says, except by the Holy Spirit. Anyone coming into the church claiming to be a follower of Messiah and yet denying all that belonged to that messianic office, it was a fraud. It was not the work of God. So much junk. The Gnostics, the Judaizers, and then there's that sheer sin. That's what the apostles had to deal with. That's what we have to deal with. They dealt with it in their generation. They left us a pattern, a workbook, and we're still dealing with it. And every Christian should be asking to be part of this. I've used this before. It's the player on the bench saying, Coach, put me in the game. Get me in the game. If you're not being used by Christ somewhere in your life, you need to be going to God saying, Lord, put me in it. But you better get ready lest you be shamed. That's why rightly dividing the word of God. Study to show yourself approved, a worker unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So what Christ has done has no value if he is not who he says he is. If Christ did all these miracles, spoke of all this love, but was lying about his identity, then it will profit us nothing. But we know that because of the works that he did and the teachings that he taught and the prophecies surrounding him, and the resurrection and the testimony that goes with that, we know that he is exactly who he said he was and that it is very meaningful to all of us. But if you do not receive him, all that Christ is of no value to you. You are dead in your sins. You have taken the path that goes in the wrong direction, and the wrath of God will be on you rather than the love of God. It's your choice. And everyone who loves him, he says here in verse 1, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Love flows from faith. Everyone who loves God, who is the giver of life, who sent his Son, and has also sent the Holy Spirit that souls could be saved. That is love flowing from faith when we are part of that process. Again, Jeremiah speaking of the love. And again, Jeremiah, you know, just suffered so much from people who had the scriptures, who understood what God wanted, and blatantly, bold-faced rebellion just trampled God's word. And he ministered amongst these people. So we have no excuse. We Christians can't say, well, the culture is so messed up now. Everybody is so into this and into that, and they don't want to hear Christ. That's no excuse. We're still looking to preach the word, to convict, to rebuke, to exhort. Jeremiah 31:3, we know this verse. Yahweh has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. You see, that's what he does, God. He draws people. He appears. He shows up in some form, not the way we'd like him to. We'd like him to materialize and just take the fight for us. But he shows up through love. Loving God, loving Christ, loving other believers. That's what John is telling us to do. Because of the nature of God, that this works, this is what is effective. John's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus speaking, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of God." John is connected all of it together. He's linked it to God. And he's saying, don't break the chain. Tells us how we know we love God personally. And that is by loving others. Not just the Father, not just the Son, not just the Holy Spirit, but the people of God too. This is a cycle, this agape love. It is a cycle. It flows from the Father, the Son, into the people, back to the Father, the Son. It's a cycle, this love, this agape love. It is a touchstone for us of assurance that I am a believer. Yes, I may struggle liking some believers. We may be relatively incompatible, but I still love them. It's an odd thing. We all know this, but we need to hear it again and again. We need to be challenged again, stoked again. Someone needs to light a fire under us from time to time. That's the work of the preacher. Hopefully, before he lights fires under anyone else, God has lit one under him. We've had enough of the hate cycles that we're exposed to in this life, and they exist. They're all over the place. Race versus race, tribe versus tribe, clan versus clan. These are the hate cycles. They teach. One generation teaches the other generation how to hate that generation. The Hatfields and the McCoys, nothing but hatred. And it's in other peoples and other races and other tribes. No matter where you go under the sun, you find people, the same type people in the same country, hating different clans of the same people, generation after generation. And they wear their tribal colors to show their allegiance to their tribe and their contempt towards the others. Cycles of evil that we want no part of. Genuine Christian experience with the Holy Spirit will deepen our love for other Christians. If you are truly in the Word, if you are truly in prayer, if you are truly in fellowship, if you are truly in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a deeper experience in love. But if you think that love does not have to be maintained like a garden, you're wrong. And you will become loveless. And then you get a sermon on love and you're convicted. Well, that's proof that you're still with the Lord. But you've got to get the love thing right. There's no way around it. And when Jesus said, love your enemies, that causes all of us to stand back and reevaluate our approach to our own faith when it comes to what's in our heart. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, John is not referring to the commandments, the Jewish law directly. He's not excluding it, but he's referring to the law of love given to us by Christ, this new commandment of agape love, found in the second chapter of this same letter. A fixed attitude, a willful attitude. That's what that's what's involved in agape love, a fixed attitude. It's willful. I am determined to do this. This is not something that I find elective or optional. I find it troublesome to my flesh, but I know this is what God wants. And I will not make excuses for myself to be unloving. Now, sometimes I have to be firm. And there are times that I will full-heartedly disagree with someone else's opinion about something. That does not make me loveless. In fact, it could prove my love. God's commandments are given to protect us, people, humans. Thou shalt not murder. Well, that's what he means when he says, thou shalt not kill. You're not to murder people. That's a law on behalf of men, society, and individuals. To violate that one shows that the love is not operating. If I steal from someone, I am showing that I don't love my victim. I love me and what I want, and thus the restraints that God has given to us in the law. It's covered, it's concise, it's in this. This is my commandment, that you love one another. If you love one another, you're not going to hurt the other person. You take steps not to hurt the other person by violating the laws of love. Love includes action. Without action, love is abstract, and therefore it is not much use. I find that when I preached to people in the world, that these very things were so vital to preach on love, Christian love to them, where it came from, the differences between natural affections and loves versus spiritual love from Christ. Most of the time, they gobbled it up. They wanted to hear these things. They wanted to know the difference between love and hate, and they wanted higher information on it. We have it. It's okay to teach these things to unbelievers, to explain it to them. But we usually can't get to that place if we don't develop relationships. If we're not friendly enough. Who wants to hear the gospel from the most abrasive person in the office? Verse 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Well, again, the Epicurean Gnostics, that branch of the false teachers, they viewed morality and obedience as a hindrance to life. You still get this in the universities. You say, well, who taught you that these things are immoral? Your parents, so don't listen to them. They're just making it up. You only feel guilty because someone told you to feel guilt. No, I feel guilty because I've hurt someone, and I don't want to be hurt myself. So if I am gossiping about someone or lying about them or hurting them in some way, I have guilt because I am guilty, not because someone has taught this to me. But they're getting away with these lies, I fear, because many times Christians think they have something to learn from the world when it comes to how we shall live. I mean, there are things we can learn, but not the primaries, not the primary lessons. The foundational lessons come from the Lord, and they do not need to be improved. They need to be developed, worked out, carried out, like human muscles. You know, you improve them by developing them. Love, obedience. These things are targeted by Satan, and he has the advantage, not only because he is spiritual and has spiritual powers, but also because we are sinners, prone to sin. We have an appetite for sin. And truth and perseverance, these are marks of a believer struggling against Satan's influence, is trying to get us to be disobedient. And he loves to have us be unloving. Law, straight out law, rules, they can be a burden. Grace is an inspiration because it's associated with love. And we begin to understand why we're commanded to do the things that we do. And that is very helpful. Now, it's not good that leaders always explain what their commands are, because then people begin to demand explanation and you just can't lead that way. But God does explain much to us, but not everything. We're talking about Gideon. Gideon asking, why is this happening to us? If you got to wait for that answer to be complete, you won't get anything done. And this is one reason why God just moves past it. We have enough information to move forward without having all of the whys and all the objections answered and satisfied. The restraints of holiness upon a sinful nature is a serious experience. Holiness salts us, keeps us in check, makes us work, because we know who God is. We know we're accountable to him. This is a great motivation. And yet in the midst of it, we're certainly mindful of his kindness. And his commandments are not burdensome. I've wanted to get to that verse. What God called for is not for us to have a burdensome spirit. The simple meaning, it's a very simple meaning, that His commandments are not burdensome to our spirit, to the new nature. We listen to what God has to say and we say, that is 100% right. That is good. I love it. That's why we worship Him. The problem arises when we try to implement these things because of the carnal nature. That's when it's difficult. For example, John is telling us to love fellow believers who oftentimes are more difficult to love than unbelievers. And we listen to that and we say, that's a burden. Yeah, to the old nature, it is. No question. But to the new man, to the ideal Christ has set before us that we agree with, it is wonderful because we want to love like that. We want to have that kind of love that says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do while they're killing him. We look at that with awe. We approve of it. We want that balance and that strength because we see its value. The new nature, it needs constant reinforcement. It's a constant flow. It is not static. It's like the blood going through, you know, the body, carrying oxygen, just keeping us alive. Romans chapter 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Let's see what he's saying. The inward man loves the law of God. Psalm 119, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Because David knew God. If David wrote Psalm 119. So agape love, yeah, it's a burden to the carnal nature that I am saddled with, but it is also a delight to the spiritual man that will prevail, that will be victorious. As we are here right now, how many saints are already in heaven because they've persevered? God's word is no burden to righteousness. The fallen nature of man is a burden to righteousness. That's why we have keys and locks and pistols and rifles and all the things we have to protect ourselves. So it's a battleground, a battlefield for sure. Romans 7, but I see another law in my members, my body, and my carnality, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul is saying, I know what you're going through. I go through it too. There's just some things that are just so difficult. There's this fight inside. Who knows what Paul's personal struggles, maybe, you know, could have been just fear of getting stoned or caned. And yet he went out and did it all the time, it seems. You read again 2 Corinthians, that 11th chapter, in the latter verses, somewhere around verse 23 or something like that. And you just said, this man, who can keep this pace? What an incredible and extraordinary believer. What motivated him? Love wasn't a burden to him in the spirit. No burden to the spiritual nature because we're in our right mind when we are thinking spiritually. Psalm 19, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, enlightening the eyes. How poetic. That psalmist on that day was just so in love with God's word. But I know the days would come when that psalmist would write things like, if I had wings, I would fly away. Because that's the human experience. The peaks and the valleys, the plateaus, the gullies. And we are prepared for these things. We are built for these things. You may not feel like you are. You may even be getting thrashed. But your perseverance has every alarm going off in hell that can go off. Just simple perseverance. Hell was excited when Demas left Paul. Very excited. But also it was a nervous excitement. Because they did not know if he would persevere nonetheless. Romans 7:23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. God gave the law to Moses, the Mosaic law, we call it. And when he gave it to him, it was something that was man could handle. Moses could carry the law in his hands. In fact, he took it and he put it in a chest, and the Levites would carry it in the chest. God had a far-reaching view of these things. He knew the day would come where man would not have to carry the Word of God anymore, but would rest. It's a wonderful picture of the experience in this life. Deuteronomy 10, so I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. He's carrying what will be the Word of God. And then he takes that word, and that is one of the three items put into the chest, the Ark of the Covenant, beneath the mercy seat of God. And when we arrive in heaven, we will put down all of our efforts to uphold righteousness against unrighteousness, even in our own hearts. It's captured for us by King Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Here's a king that loved God so much, did all that he could to purge the land of idolatry. It was just so deeply rooted, none of them could get it out. It's like Christianity today. There's so much leaven and heresy within Christendom that you just can't get it all out. You can get much of it out. Many good churches have much of it out, but there's still people coming in all the time and bringing this stuff with them. 2 Chronicles 35:5. Then he said to the Levites who taught all Israel who were holy to Yahweh, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve Yahweh your God and his people Israel. Right now, the love of God is burdensome to my flesh, but not to my spirit, and that creates a contest, a battlefield, a storm that I have to live with all my life. But that doesn't render me meaningless. That doesn't mean that I can't be used because I struggle and sometimes I find myself getting the flesh getting the upper hand. That's not the whole story. We keep pushing forward. Verse 4, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our trust. You can't persevere without faith. You can't keep going without eyes on the Lord, without surrendering to the knowledge of the holy. I would rather die than have God give up on me. But the reason that I don't have to fear saying something like that is because I know God's not going to give up on me. Moses had expressed that. He did not want to leave Sinai if God didn't go with them. God was angry at the people for their sin. Exodus 33:16. Then he said to him, Moses speaking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I don't want to go anywhere without you. We Christians should believe the same thing. We want the Holy Spirit. We want to be led, but being led is very difficult because of the flesh. I don't understand all the reasons why it is so difficult. I understand some of the reasons why. I think sometimes God can make things, he could simplify things with just a little bit of effort. But I don't know all the laws that exist surrounding creation in the spiritual realm. But I get a glimpse of it from Daniel when the angel was hindered from getting to Daniel. Telling him, from the beginning your prayers have been heard, but spiritual forces have hindered me. So I understand that when things aren't happening, when God is not moving the mountains, and I'm praying, and I'm working, and I'm doing everything by the book, and it's still not happening, I yield to the knowledge that there are other laws and other wars surrounding these laws and these wars.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.